That conviction you feel is no indication that God is angry with you, is trying to punish you, or has rejected you. It is His way to show His love and grace in restoring you. I will introduce this study by telling a story. It's a tragic and sad story, but it is true. It happened long ago and far away, but it has a lesson for us. David, king of Israel, was a good man who loved God with all his heart. He wrote psalms, prayed often, sought to know and follow the will of God, and raised the money Solomon used to build the great temple of God in Jerusalem. But David was human, like the rest of us, and subject to temptation. So one evening he was walking on the balcony of his palace, enjoying the cool air and relaxing from the strenuous affairs of the day, when he happened to look across the way, through the window, and into a house nearby. The lady of the house was bathing and happened to be where David could see her. She was very beautiful. He stopped to watch her. His lust was aroused. He sent to bring her into his palace, and an adulterous union resulted. To compound the tragedy, the woman conceived and sent word to David. Her husband was far away in David's army and would know her child was illegitimate. So what could David do to hide their sin? Well, he brought the husband back from the battlefield to report on the battle, but could not get him to go home to his wife while his companions were in army under fire. And finally, he had the husband killed and took the woman to be his wife. Perhaps that would solve the problem. But nothing is ever settled until it is settled right, and it is not settled right until God is satisfied. So God sent his prophet to the king to confront him with the sin. Perhaps you've been in such a place. Sexual immorality is so common today that you may need an answer to the question, how can I recover from an affair? Looking at the principles we can draw from the experience of King David, let us seek help for today. The first principle is this: respond to the conviction by the Holy Spirit. Now, conviction is an act of God by which He makes us aware of our sin and how exceedingly sinful it is. It is more than merely pointing out a fault, however. There is a sense of shame that we have sinned against God. It is presenting convicting proof that we acknowledge in our mind that we have offended a holy God. Conviction of sin always makes us feel bad and sometimes leads to tears of repentance. But God does not convict us just to make us feel bad. Conviction has three great purposes behind it. First, conviction is God's way to show the presence of sin in your life. When the psalmist cried, "There is no soundness in my flesh, neither is there any rest in my bones," he explained his conviction in saying, "My iniquities have gone over my head, as a heavy burden they are too heavy for me." It was several months between the time David had his affair with Bathsheba and the time he confessed that sin to God and was forgiven. So here is how he described those months. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." You see, conviction was like a pain in his inner spirit. It was like a great and heavy burden which he had to bear. It took away his enthusiasm for life and made each day a burden instead. And that's the state of anyone who is convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit. God says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked." Conviction of sin serves a blessed spiritual purpose, for it is God's way of showing that something drastic is wrong in the life. Fever in the physical body has much the same purpose, because it shows there is a serious malfunction in the physical system. So when you feel guilty because of something you have done or something you have failed to do, go to the Lord with it. He is telling you something is wrong, and He wants to solve the problem for you. Second, conviction is God's way to show you He loves you still and has not given up on you. It says that God loves you too much to permit you to continue in a way which will bring harm to you. God loves you with an everlasting love, not fickle and changeable as human affection, and He draws you with a loving kindness. It breaks the heart of God when He calls His erring people to Him by conviction of their sins and they do not respond. He laments, "Oh, that my people had hearkened to me and had walked in my ways." You see, God is our Heavenly Father. And like a loving Father, He will not permit us to continue in ways which will bring us to danger, sorrow, and suffering. So He calls us back by convicting us of our wrong. Conviction for sin is not God's punishment, therefore, it is a sign of His love. So respond to it by turning immediately to Him, whatever the nature of your sin. Third, conviction is God's way of leading us to repentance that we might receive forgiveness. But draw a distinction between repentance and remorse. Remorse is a deep, torturing sense of guilt, a sorrow that one was caught in a sin. But repentance is turning from sin to God to receive His grace in forgiveness and healing. Remorse is the sorrow of the world, while repentance is godly sorrow. Members of the Christian congregation in Corinth had sinned grievously before the Lord. Paul wrote a letter of stinging rebuke for their sins. They grieved over that letter because of their guilt. And then Paul wrote to them, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." Now those strong words of warning were signs that God wanted them to repent that He might forgive them. And that's the ultimate purpose of conviction. The repentance which leads to forgiveness is threefold. First, there is a change of the mind so that your attitude towards sin changes. You see and acknowledge sin as sin. Second, there is a change in the emotions. The love for sin dies in your heart, so you'd rather have peace with God than to continue in sin. And third, there is a change in the will. You must turn from sin to God by a conscious act of your will, renouncing sin and seeking His favor. Thank God for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. It is God's way to show us that there is sin in our lives. It is God's way to show us that He loves us in spite of our sin, that He loves us too much to leave us alone in our sins. It is God's way to lead us to repentance and on to forgiveness of sin. Now, David had committed a serious sin in his act of adultery. It was so serious that God pronounced the death penalty on both the man and the woman involved in adultery in Leviticus 20, verse 10. But God did not give up on him. On the contrary, the Lord sent His messenger to David to point out his sin and to call him to repentance. There is hope for you, even if you have sinned most grievously against the Lord God. That conviction you feel is no indication God is angry with you, is trying to punish you, or has rejected you. It is His way to show His love and grace in restoring you. Respond to conviction with repentance. Father, we're amazed at Your grace. We acknowledge that You would be just if You rejected us because of our sins. But instead, You come to rescue us. And we thank You, dear Father. That makes us want to live the more honorably before You. And we resolve to do so in Jesus' name. Amen.